I don't know how I feel about this. Part of me is like, no, this is cheating. The other part of me thinks, I wish this existed like 3 months ago.
All right, what is it?
A team at Georgia Tech just invented painless tattoos. So instead of a needle, there's a patch with thousands of microscopic needles. They're so small, you don't even feel them. So the needles have tattoo ink in them. So you just stick it on, let it soak in, and then the results are permanent.
I mean, I wonder how good of a tattoo that will look like, though, right? Like, it's got to be bold lines. If it's really detailed, what happens if you move your arm? What happens if you slap it on your arm and you sneeze? And now you've got a ripple wave effect in the tattoo? That seems weird.
They say they'll be cheaper than normal tattoos, and there's a lower risk of infection because there's no blood. I don't have many tattoos, but I have enough. All of them are hidden. If you meet me, there's a good chance you'll never see any of my tattoos. Mm. But recently, I had a mommy tattoo like 10 years ago when my oldest was 3, and it only had her name and her birthday, and it's on my rib cage. It was the most painful thing I've ever done. It was so painful. But now I have Dakota, who is now 3 years old, and my older daughter said to me, what happens when she realizes you only have my name tattooed? Now, don't get me wrong. I never wanted to get another tattoo again.
Sure.
I was done. But I had to go back and get this tattoo added. And as I was laying there and trying not to cry and be a big girl, I thought to myself, why did I ever get tattoos in the first place?
Mm. Well, pros and cons, real quick list here. Obviously, it'll be easier to do. So more people are going to get tattoos. I'm okay with that. On the other hand, they're not going to be as high quality. I want you to imagine that one company is pumping out all these tattoos. Now we're getting our tattoos on Amazon. And how many times are you going to run into somebody that had the exact same one as you? That seems strange to me, right?
The bigger issue to me, because I bet you they'll figure out a way to perfect it. It'll get great over the years. Okay. The bigger issue is, like, you make terrible decisions sometimes.
Sure.
But when you make a terrible decision about a tattoo, because some of my tattoos are completely awful. They were bad decisions.
I was pretty sure you just said all of them.
Well,
but okay.
A majority of them are awful. You have to make the conscious decision that you're going to go in and go through the pain and go through the process of actually getting it.
So if they make it too easy, you won't have to go through that and your decisions will be worse?
Well, yeah. And I feel like you didn't earn your stripes. Right? Don't you think part
yes.
of getting a tattoo is you're earning your stripes, you're going through the pain, you have to go to the multiple sessions if you have big ones and all that kind of stuff, and now you're just going to slap a sticker on you and call it a tattoo?
No, it to me, it's as addictive the part of the process. It is a sense of process or healing or, you know, undertaking. Yeah, no, I agree with that. The tattoo will become less cool the easier it becomes to have.
Let's see what happens in 10 years. You think this is actually going to work?
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Feels good to get things off your chest, right? 1-800-330-9999. What's that thing that's driving you crazy right now? Somebody did it or posted about it? You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Hey, it's Ian and Raven.
If I'm at Costco and I'm in the crosswalk 2 to 3 feet in and you drive by me, that's all I need to know about. And then he has the audacity to tell me I needed to wave my hand. He didn't see me.
Costco parking lot is crazy. The Costco parking lot is one of the most baffling things that I deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I always ask my wife which way she'd prefer I go when we pull into the parking lot.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be ridicule coming from the passenger side of the vehicle.
My Costco has an underground parking.
Wow.
And we immediately go to the underground parking because it's safer there.
Yeah. Right. A dungeon is the safest place.
Right.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Good luck in the Costco parking lot.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Have a great day.
Eileen, that's all I need to know about you.
If you let your kids use forks and knives as drumsticks at a restaurant, that's all I need to know about you.
And working in a restaurant industry, you see this so much. Like, first of all, why is kids' first reaction to grab the silverware and start banging it? Like, that's not like a natural first thing, but every kid will do it.
I mean, I have seen adults do that, and worse, frankly. Some people just can't fidget, right? But when you're in a restaurant and you're sitting at the table next to them, it's annoying. It's like someone being on your cell phone full blast, which is definitely not a behavior reserved just for children.
Also, the first thing kids do when they sit down is they immediately drop one of the pieces of silverware on the floor. Like, you know, even with my kids, immediately a fork is going to hit the ground. I just see it coming. It's going to happen.
Cora, that's all I need to know about you. What do you got?
If you are the type of person that used the shower and the toilet at the same time, that's all I need to know about you.
You mean that you go to the bathroom in the shower, or that you put the toilet physically in your shower?
they use the shower as a toilet. It's so disgusting.
I mean, the water is flowing.
No, my gosh.
It's warm.
We've had this discussion before. I agree with you. I think it's disgusting.
Listen, but science says that it happens a lot. That's all I'm saying, right?
I know.
It's like it gets things flowing.
I know a majority of people do this, but it still grosses me out every time. I have never, ever done that, and I have no plans to. I just think it makes your bath dirty, where that is a place of clean. Your toilet is a place of dirty. Your shower is a place of clean. There's a clear separation. That's why the toilet is not in the shower, like we just discussed.
I mean, all right. Never in your life. I find that hard to believe.
Never in my life.
Not anywhere. Not a locker room. Not a hotel.
Nope. I have gotten out of the shower many times to go to the bathroom and then got back in the shower.
That's weird. Now you made your toilet all slippery. Everybody knows. Now you made the seat super slippery.
Somebody could get killed
on that toilet seat now.
Then I got to wipe it down with a towel. I know. I know that it's not convenient, but I've done it.
Sounds like a sopping wet bath mat.
1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. It's maddening when you have a mystery smell. Like when you smell something in your house or in your car or somewhere, you're like, what is that? What is that? And then you're trying to figure it out where it's coming from and how did it get there? Ugh.
And then you're waiting for it to go away, but sometimes it just doesn't.
Right. So I had a mystery smell in my car, and it fades out and then it comes back.
Yes.
And then sure enough, over the weekend, it started coming back again, and I immediately picked up my phone and hit record.
It smells like it again in here.
It smells like poop in here.
But what is that smell?
It's your car.
Everybody check your shoes. It's again. The smell is back. Like, what is it?
Well, you're back in your car, so it's whatever you stepped in.
I didn't step in anything. I just checked. Nobody did. I don't know where it's coming from.
Dakota, you poop your pants?
No, she did not. She just went to the bathroom.
Did you poop your pants?
Paul.
He's got to follow up, you know? Yeah. I mean, sometimes kid will lie to you.
Dakota's my toddler, which is why I had to justify that she just went to the bathroom.
No, it's a code word that Anna actually uses. It's actually Anna's second name.
Yeah.
Did you poop your pants?
No, stop it, Raymond. Okay. I did not. You know what? I did not. But it's maddening because the smell keeps coming back, and it's awful.
Yeah.
So finally, we get home, and I lose my mind. I'm like, Paul, I can't spend another week in this car with the smell, and I don't know what it is. So he starts stripping it down, even though I have searched under the seats. I've literally torn that car apart, and we figured out what it was, finally.
Paul, what was the mystery smell in the car?
We found out it's a mixture of mulch and fertilizer.
And how did the mulch and fertilizer get underneath the bed?
It was underneath the carpet thing. You had to pick it up, and it was underneath where the spare tire sits on the trunk of the SUV.
And you think I put that there?
I think you maneuvered it around and let it fall down in there, because I put a blanket down when I loaded it up the truck with it and then shook it out. So it had to be you.
Raven.
Yeah.
You know me a long time.
Yeah.
Do you think I've ever touched mulch or fertilizer in my life?
I would seriously doubt it.
Right.
I would seriously doubt it.
Somehow, when he goes and he does his Home Depot trips, he somehow managed to get it to go under the bed in my car because I've got the bigger truck.
That's the death trap. And it's honestly the first place that you should look for a smell that emanates that you can't figure out. My last car, all right? There was a smell in my last car that I just couldn't figure out what it was. It went on for nearly a year.
Yeah.
I had them take apart that car. They took the fenders off the car trying to figure it out, figuring that it was like a dead wildlife or something that had got up in there. Never found it. 9 months, a year later, I found a mouse in the spare tire, area.
Oh.
I was sad for him. He clearly died under duress. It was very, very hot. I don't know if there's any other way to die but under duress. But he died under duress. It was very, very hot. But how could they not find it in there?
I know. Do you ever have a mystery smell? Georgia, what happened?
Oh, my God. My car smelled for like almost 2 weeks, and I just couldn't figure out what it was until I finally looked under my seat, and it was my one-year-old son's old milk sippy cup. I was like, oh, my God. It was insane. It was disgusting. I was like, ew.
You just got to throw that cup out at that point.
Oh, no. You definitely throw it out. I've been in this situation so many times because they finish it in the back seat, and then they throw it, and then you don't know where it goes. And, like, you know how your car just eats things? And it's, like, all the way underneath. You have no idea. That sour milk smell will destroy you.
It will destroy your car smell. It is awful.
And it stays in there, right?
Ugh.
That's the worst part.
Yeah, it takes a while to air it out. I don't care how many of those little car air freshener trees, it's never coming out.
Gross.
Fertilizer and mulch. That was the mystery smell in my car that has been driving me crazy for weeks. And the worst part was that it was in like the tire bed in the trunk, and my husband blamed me the whole time. I don't even know how it got there.
Well, I'm guessing it was something that he loaded up. I don't see you moving 40-pound bags of mulch.
Nope, absolutely not. You ever have a mystery smell? It just shows up out of nowhere, your house or in your car, and you can't figure out what it is? What was it? 1-800-330-9999. Kelly.
Okay, so it's not in my car, but it was in our kitchen, and for the longest time, we couldn't figure out the smell. And so my husband was going to rip up our hardwood floor, take out the stove, because we couldn't figure out where the smell was coming from. It ended up that I left chickens to defrost in my microwave for like a week and a half.
Nobody checked the microwave.
How do you? I mean, I use the microwave 1,000 times a day.
I don't.
I
bet you things could die in my microwave, and it would take a long time for me to figure it out.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, we were shocked that we didn't use the microwave that long, but we almost ripped up the hardwood floor.
Oh my god! Got lucky, I guess.
Yeah, thank you
suppose,
for the call.
Right.
Imagine they take a sledgehammer to the wall.
That's crazy,
Christy. What was that mystery smell?
Oh, my God. Well, I was commuting to college at the time, and for 2 weeks, I complained to my father. Every time I got in the car, there was this horrible smell. I didn't know what it was. And one day, when he decided to put something in the trunk, when he opened the trunk, he discovered that previously he had put a bag of fish in the back of the trunk with the intent of throwing it away at the dump, and he never did.
Oh,
and,
God.
Oh, the smell weeks with dead fish in the back of the car.
Sell the car. Sell the car. Right? Like, I mean, you got to rip the carpet out of the trunk. Like, yep. That's just not coming out.
When I, in college, I lived with foreign exchange students, and they used to fry fish all the time, every single day. Our freezer was filled with frozen fish. It never got out of our walls or our clothes.
Never.
I had to throw away the clothes at the end of the semester. I lived on the third floor of that townhouse. It gets into everything.
Oh, yeah. Awful. And rotten fish is even worse.
Don, what was that smell?
Okay, whenever I was in college, I had this roommate, and he just showed up one day with this cat. He said, follow me home. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. We can, like, pet him, da-da-da-da. He bought all the things, the litter box, the toys, the things, and shortly after the cat got there, we kept smelling this. Oh, it was awful. It was terrible. And he was like religious about cleaning out the litter box. So I'm like, well, then where is this coming from? We scoured the house, and it took us like close to 2 weeks before we found where the cat had decided to go. Instead of going in the litter box, it went behind this cardboard cutout of Tom Brady that we had in the living room and would do his business behind there. And so we moved the cutout, and there was like this small hill of desiccated cat poop, and it was terrible. It was awful.
It's disgusting.
Anna, I want you to think for a moment about the fact that you would have to be somewhere unguarded, new territory, new place, and at some point you've got to do your business. Is there anybody better on the planet that you would rely on than Tom Brady to look out for you while you were doing your business?
I mean, I guess if that's going to, I mean, I don't even want to make this disgusting joke. Never mind. I'm going to move on. But if you're going to do your business, it should be on Tom Brady.
That's what I'm talking. No, behind Tom Brady.
Oh, I don't. Okay.
Wow.
The mystery smell. You ever have that happen to you? All of a sudden you smell something like in the car, at your house. You can't figure out what it is. It won't go away. Ugh.
I had the dealership take apart my car. Fenders and everything. They took them off. Never found that smell.
We finally realized that my car smell was fertilizer and mulch that had gone under the bed where the spare tire was. And my husband had the nerve to blame me.
I love it when it bakes in the sun. The best.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was the mystery smell?
Oh, my God. I got back from a vacation one time, and there was just this horrible stench coming from the garage. And so I initially thought, oh, maybe a skunk went in there. Maybe a rat died in there and the body was decomposing for a week. I couldn't find any animals, though. I looked all around the floor. I looked, maybe I thought it was inside the walls or something. I had no idea. Then finally, I saw the cooler that we took out and we left food in it like 2 weeks before we left.
Aww.
Oh, my God. when I opened this, the food was like, it had like fungus, and it was the most god-awful, gut-wrenching smell I have ever smelled in my life. It was horrible.
What? Cooler's going in the trash, or I'm hitting it with the pressure washer from across the yard.
Oh, definitely. I would throw the whole thing away. Like, get out of here. Sometimes my daughter will forget to take food out of her lunchbox, and I'll walk by the book bag, and I'll be like, and you'll know right away, like, what went down. And it's like, see, and then the book bag smells, and she complains, and it's like, well, unload your backpack when you get home from school.
Sticks to it for a while.
Grace, what was your mystery smell, and what caused it?
Well, this is kind of odd, but the mystery smell was actually me. Yeah.
You smelled?
It's kind of, yeah, it was me. I had a baby, and, you know, after a week, I just, I'm like, what's going on? You know, I do take showers. I do, you know, I am clean, especially with the new baby, obviously, but I couldn't figure out. It was like a stench. And I was like, what in the world is happening? So, you know, a week later, I went back to just to have the baby checked, and I did have a C-section. And then once I explained to the doctor what was going on, he said, oh, they probably left the placenta in your body. And I was like, okay. You know, I mean, it was my first one, so I didn't know what was happening. And so they, you know, they took out the placenta, and you know, that was it. That was, I know it sounds gross, but yeah, it was
rotting placenta, and she was smelling it coming from herself.
And I heard every word that she said. I mean, it's gonna stick with me.
I know.
But you had to repeat it. You're both just cruel to my ears.
I've never heard of anything like that. That's insane.
I know.
Oh, my, how scary and dangerous, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're okay.
Right. Glad you made it. Glad you no longer smell.
That would be such an argument with me and my husband. He'd be like, did you shower today? I'd be like, I showered. Like, what are you talking about? He'd be like, you stink. I mean, oh, man. And then to find out something like that, awful. What is that mystery smell? You ever been in the situation where you're in your house, you're in your car, and then all of a sudden you smell something and you can't figure out what it is? We've been talking about that throughout the day today, but last week they did a study and they said that people thought smell was the least helpful of all their senses. And we're here to prove that wrong, because an adult human can distinguish up to 10,000 odors. And when you have a mystery smell, you got to figure out what it is.
I mean, what kind of ridiculous nonsense is that? Of course smell is important. What else? When else would you know when you were smelling gas? Huh? Raven, rotten eggs?
Raven is blindfolded right now. Raven, are you ready to play?
Yes, sir.
You hit the mic. All right.
Yes, sorry about that.
Raven has no idea what's going on. We're going to play What's That Mystery Smell? I have collected things around my house. Producer Sean is going to put it under your nose. You have to correctly identify what is that mystery smell. Let's start. Go ahead, Sean. Put the first item under your nose.
I'm just going to tell you right now, Sean, if you put a dirty diaper underneath my nose, it is going to be on.
What is that mystery smell?
Dog food.
That is dog food. Yep. Correct.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, thanks for the bell.
You're welcome. Listen. If you feel uncertain on what the mystery smell is, I will give you the option that you can lick it first.
No.
Yes.
What?
There you go. Yes. No. Yes. Okay. What's the? Okay. Go ahead, Sean. Mystery smell two. Go ahead. Let me see which one that is, Sean. I can't see. Oh, okay. Oh, that has a very distinct
is
smell.
Is that like hot chocolate mix or milk chocolate, like cocoa? What?
It's an Oreo.
Okay.
You should have licked that one. That should have been one. No, you can't try to lick it now. Sean's already taken it away.
Oh, come on.
You can't find out it's an Oreo and then want to lick it. All right, this one has a very distinct smell. Mm-hmm. If you work in a preschool, you're probably familiar with this smell.
What?
What is that mystery smell, Raven?
It smells like one of those cookies that the kids eat. It's like, I don't know what they call them. It's like shaped like an S or something. It smells like one of them cookies that kids eat.
It's animal crackers.
Okay.
Animal crackers. I'll give you that.
All right. Yeah.
It's not the S cookie. Those are the Stella Dora cookies, and those are delicious.
Well, whatever.
All right. It
smells kind of the same.
What is that? What is that mystery smell? Remember, you have the option to lick it.
It's cinnamon.
Let me see. It is cinnamon. Yep. I think cinnamon is the most recognizable smell out of all the mystery smells.
You know what?
Don't you think?
Whenever I get my teeth cleaned, I always go for the cinnamon. They always ask what kind of polish you want.
You do?
And you know what? She went vanilla mint this other time on me, and I asked for cinnamon, and I didn't like stand up and be like, what are you doing to me? but I thought it the entire time in my head.
I have never, ever selected the cinnamon when I go to the dentist, and I find it very strange that that's even an option. All right, let's continue.
Oh, I love the cinnamon.
All right, this is a very recognizable smell. You have the option.
This is a lemon.
It is a lemon.
Yeah, I'm crushing over here.
Oh, you're doing
crushing it.
See, an adult human can distinguish up to 10,000 odors. Is that the last one, Sean?
Two more.
We have two more.
Two more.
Go ahead. Mystery smell.
Oh, that's vinegar.
Vinegar is correct.
Yeah.
Look how good you are.
I'm the best at this.
All right.
So it can't beat Raven at smells.
Can you just lick this one just for my own enjoyment?
No.
Okay.
It's not.
Mystery smell.
Hold on.
You should have crushed it.
What is that?
Lick it, lick it.
Just, I'm not going to.
Just lick it.
Is it garlic?
It is garlic.
Look at me go.
Yes.
I'm the best. I got to take this.
You can take your blindfold off
now. I can't hit the button.
You did a really good job. I'm so proud of you. We'll put the whole video up on our Instagram at Anna and Raven. Check it out.
Thank God I didn't lick the dog food.
I wanted you to lick it so bad. You didn't lick anything. It was definitely a parenting fail, but it was so weird. I didn't understand what was going on. And when I realized it, it was like too late for me to respond like a responsible adult, I guess.
Like a caring parent?
Yep.
Right.
All right. So my husband and I were out late and we had our babysitter there. So, you know, basically my babysitter is there to watch the little one, my almost 4-year-old.
Sure.
But my 13-year-old always stays up with her, watches movies. She was asleep on the couch with my babysitter. We got home. It was probably like around midnight. So I'm talking to the babysitter. Hayden gets up. She gives me a kiss on the cheek and she says, bye. Now, I don't know. I assume that she's going up to bed.
Right.
Was it weird that she said bye? I guess in retrospect when I think about it. But, you know, I didn't think anything of it. I was in the middle of the conversation with the babysitter, right? So all of a sudden, I hear the door slam shut. And I go, what? And Paul goes, my husband, Hayden left. I go,
wait a minute. What?
I go, what do you mean she left? What do you mean she left? And I'm like, and then I go, she's sleepwalking. She's sleepwalking. I'm like, Paul, go get her. So, like, we run to the door. We throw open the door. She's halfway down the driveway.
Wow.
Right? And I'm like, Hayden! Hayden!
Great. It's midnight. Great. And I'm your neighbor. I have no idea what's going on. And now we think she's dead.
And she just, like, she, like, I see her kind of, like, come to and turn around. And she looks confused.
Yeah.
I go, Hayden! And she just walks inside. And she sits on the stairs. I go, you all right, baby?
Mm.
And she was like, yeah. I go, you're going to go upstairs to bed? And she's like, yeah. And then she just went upstairs to bed.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
She's confused. Yeah.
She doesn't remember any of it. I wanted to record her talking about it, but she's so embarrassed. I'm also that mom that then talks about it on the radio. But isn't it like, sleepwalking is weird, man.
Yeah, it is weird. Yeah.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What happened when you were sleepwalking?
Okay, so I'm not sure if I, you know, sleepwalk or not, but I had this really crazy story when I was in my 20s. I was living by myself in this apartment, and I woke up one morning, and my kitchen, my entire kitchen was spotless. And I lived by myself, and so nobody was there, and it was clean. And I know when I went to sleep the night before that it was dirty. And so I might have did it in my sleep or some. I don't know. I don't know what the explanation is.
It's a housekeeping fairy. Sometimes if you pray really hard, they just come in the middle of the night and clean your house.
I mean, you were in college. It was your mom.
No.
Your mom showed up to make sure you were alive. And she cleaned it and she realized that you were just a passed out mess in your bed and she let you sleep. It was your mom.
No, I want to think of it as the housekeeping fairy, and that actually exists. I want that in my life. I would love the fairy just to come clean my house in the middle of the night.
Two scenarios, you tell me which is more likely. You woke up in the morning and your kitchen was clean. One of them was some strange dreamlike state that happened. The other one, you find out years down the road, was your mom. Either way, kitchen was clean.
Stephanie, what happened when you were sleepwalking?
So it actually used to be my son sleepwalking, and he used to walk all through the night and then leave the fridge open. It was so annoying.
Oh, wow.
Inexpensive.
Right.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just weird.
Yeah. How many times are we going to do this before I put a padlock on your door?
My new refrigerator has an alarm now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's so cool. Like, if the door is left open too long,
yeah,
then it goes off. And I have a toddler. I have a
you know, she's going to be 4 in November. And she always goes and like opens the drawer and leaves it open. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened. Because all of a sudden you hear the alarm going off and you're like, again? And she's like on the couch with like an applesauce. And I'm like, I know where you got that.
Okay, I'm definitely going to have to get that. That's great.
Sleepwalking. What happened? 1-800-330-9999. Over the weekend, my daughter walked out the front door and we finally realized she was sleepwalking when she was halfway down the driveway. It's crazy when these things happen. Amanda, what happened to you?
So I sleepwalk butt naked into my parents, into my in-laws' bedroom.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. How old were you?
Yes. My age now, I was 28 at the time. I'm 29 now.
Well, at least, you know, at 28, it's as good looking as it's going to get at 28, right? You know what I mean?
I mean,
at least you know that, right? You know, if you're carrying yourself from room to room and you're in your birthday suit, you know, at 28, you know, the skin is taut. The things are, you know.
Do you think your mother-in-law cares about that?
No, but no. You will at some point upon reflection.
Oh, my God. It was so weird because I realized I started waking up as I was talking to them.
Oh, my God.
Like, Amanda, is everything okay? And I was like, yeah, what do you mean? And I look down and I'm naked and I just run back to bed.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, you win. You win.
That's
worst sleepwalking ever.
That's
yeah. Regina, sleepwalking. What happened?
I used to sleepwalk a lot as a kid, and every summer we would go camping, and we were in the pop-up, and my parents asked me where I was going. I told them I was going to the bathroom, and I just started walking all over the campground, and they had to come find me.
You're lucky they didn't find you with a bear.
Right.
You know?
Even a bear sees that and goes, no. I'm not sure I want to eat that. Right? There's something wrong with that meat. Right? It's gone sour.
Oh. Ange, what happened when you were sleepwalking?
I woke up and I was in the middle of the road. I was probably about 9 or 10. I was in fourth grade. And the neighbor's lights were on. So I walked up and she was happened to be up feeding the baby. In the meantime, my mother heard the back door and called the police. So my neighbor's walking me home, and the police car pulls up, flashes the siren, and I was mortified.
Right, right. Knocked down your neighbor, arrested them, small baby still trying to feed. It's just all a misunderstanding, officer.
I couldn't talk about it forever.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing with us.
Brittany, sleepwalking, what happened?
Hey, so my sister was a sleepwalker when we were kids, and my parents are always like, don't wake her up. It's dangerous. Don't wake her up if you see her sleepwalking, because we share the same room. And then one night, she actually, like, sleptwalked and fell down the stairs.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she got, like, a little bruise. She wasn't, like, very badly injured or anything, just, like, a couple bruises. But my mom and dad blame me. They're like, why didn't you wake her up? Why? I'm like, you guys told me not to wake her up. So.
Right. True.
So if you don't wake them up and they're in the bedroom, do they just walk in circles? Like, what? I mean,
they
right?
do stuff. My husband loves the story that one night in college that I got up and I went to go to the bathroom on my roommate's chair. Like, yeah, I thought it was like a toilet. And like, and it wasn't until I had like my pants halfway down, my pajama pants, that he yelled, Anna, and like woke me up. And I was like, you waited for me to get that far before you said anything or did anything?
Before, when we were in college, I knew a guy who used to pee in weird places, but he was just blackout drunk. It was different.
No, it's definitely different. Did she wake up when she fell down the stairs, or was she still asleep?
Well, I guess at some point when she was falling, she woke up, because when she hit the bottom, she started crying and was awake. It was like, Mommy!
Yeah, step three, she was awake.
I got in trouble. I get in trouble, as always.
What happened to your bedroom after you moved out of your parents' house? Or if you have older children that have moved out on their own, what do you keep their bedroom? Do you keep it the way it is, or did you immediately change it?
Having a debate right now with my wife. So our son has been out of the house for 2 years. Let me prefix this by saying that we love our son. Anytime he ever needs to come back, anytime he needs to stay there, whether it's a random night or forever, obviously he's welcome to do so.
Correct.
It's his house, just like the rest of ours. However, it's probably time to redecorate, all right? We don't need his bottle of Hennessy, his water pipe, his video game system, his ridiculous posters and other things that are on the walls that are in that room, still up in that room. When my mother comes over to house sit for us, that's the room she stays in. It's absolutely ridiculous.
So what do you want to turn it into?
Well, I mean, it could be another bedroom or it could be an office. It also happens to be the only room in the house with an ensuite. So maybe it's time for it to be our bedroom. Either way, my wife doesn't want to change a single thing. She wants it to stay exactly as it is. When I moved out of my parents' house, they changed every single, and this goes for my siblings too. My parents are all about the grandkids now. There's not a single one of our children's rooms, like when we were kids, that still exists in that house. My niece and their granddaughter has a different room for each activity she's doing. She has a TV room. She has like an art playroom.
Yes.
And she has like a sleeping bedroom too.
You know what's funny is when my parents waited for me to graduate high school to move. So the minute I graduated, they put the house on the market and they ended up moving to another house. And I never had another room ever again.
That was it.
That was it.
You were X'd out. When they moved the stuff, they just left yours outside. They just left it outside.
And I always think back, like, I don't, it's such a nostalgic thing, your childhood bedroom, that I go, I just wish that I could go back into my room and go into my twin bed and go into my closet where I wrote Anna was here, W-U-Z, you know, just like I was, you know, 14 years old all over again. And that room doesn't even exist anymore. You know, it does to somebody else's family.
But I mean, I guess you could knock on the door, but that would be a little bit creepy.
One time it went on the market a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I thought about it.
You didn't go look?
No, I wanted to. And then I don't know what came over me. Like, I got sad. I thought that, like, if I walked into my old house and I walked into my old room,
you would cry and just be, you know, broken there.
I wanted to remember my room the way it was.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to walk into it being somebody else's room. You know, I don't know. You have it, like, you have it remembered in a certain way.
When we bought this new house, the old owners showed up on Halloween with their kids and wanted to come into the house.
Did you let them in?
My wife let them right in the front door, but that was it. We kind of turned them away after that.
If somebody showed up at my house and they said they used to live there and I was certain they weren't serial killers, I would let them go see the house. Why not?
Well, they should have gave us a better agreement on the chimney settling.
What happened to your childhood bedroom, or what did you do to your child's bedroom once they moved out? Raven and his wife Alicia have been trying to figure out if it's time to finally take their son's room and convert it into something else.
Like, I get it. I mean, she's got clothes up in a tote from the time he was in first grade to like sixth or seventh grade. I mean, I don't know what you're doing with those. But the bedroom, it's not a tomb. Right. it's not. We've got other things that we can do with it. We can at least redecorate this place. Come on.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What happened to your childhood bedroom?
When my daughter moved out, my son took over her room because her room was on the other side of the house, had a separate entrance. And as soon as my son moved out, my husband made it into a music room. Oh, my God, all his guitars went in there. And my granddaughter, and she's the one that plays the guitar with Grandpa now. So my grandkids were so happy it became a music room.
I'm so glad you said he made it a music room, because I thought you were going to say once your son moved out, then your husband moved down there to get closer to the other exit.
Right, I thought you just kicked him out. I don't want to see.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What happened to your childhood bedroom once you moved out?
My least favorite color is pink. And when I moved out, my mother painted my entire bedroom pink and turned it into her sewing room.
You're never coming back.
Right. She wanted to ensure that there was no way you would ever move home.
She made sure.
Quinn, what happened to your childhood bedroom?
Oh, my gosh. My parents, during COVID, they set it up into their COVID escape room. They put in a Peloton. They had puzzles, gaming equipment, books, everything. They basically turned my childhood bedroom into a Hobby Lobby.
Wow.
Do you blame them? I mean, that's awesome.
And I just put like the Zoom office has got to be in a closet or something.
Yeah. I'd rather put my Peloton in one of the spare bedrooms or one of my kids' bedrooms. Right now, mine just lives in the living room.
Adeline, what happened to your childhood bedroom?
So I give it to my son, and then he moved out when he was 42. The day after he moved out, I turned that into an office.
I mean, that was like she would want to make sure he was never coming back.
I know the feeling.
Exactly.
Right? Some people, they keep the room like a mausoleum forever. And if you're not going to do that, just rip that Band-Aid off.
Oh, I mean, he's 42 years old, Raven. You had a long time to rip that Band-Aid off.
Right. You've been trying. You've been trying to get him out of the house. Sooner or later, you got to remove him, strap him to a hand truck, and have the movers take him out.
You should have turned it into an office when he was 26.
Right.
Veronica, what happened to your childhood bedroom?
Okay, so my childhood bedroom was so small that, like, everyone would always joke that it was the closet. And it was like a really old house. It was super small. And what was insulting is after I left to go to college, my parents actually turned it into a closet, like put racks in it, walk-in closet. I mean, not a huge walk-in closet because it was small, but yeah.
And then turned the den into an ensuite. And you're like, wow, thanks, Mom and Dad. I mean, I would have liked to have had more than 8x8 square footage in my room, too.
I mean, but imagine it was a closet the whole time.
Right.
And they just played it off like, no, your room is just small. And you found out, no, I've been living in a closet for the last 18 years of my life.
I mean, doubtful. If the house is that old, right? People had no respect for individuals a long time ago, right? They'd be like, no. The twins slept in there.
Yeah.
Right? That was a bunk room before.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
It's wedding week on Couples Court. All engaged couples and the issues that they're having. And up first, it's Bobby and Rachel. Rachel, let's start with you. What's going on?
Yeah, so we just got engaged, which is super exciting. And we've just started, wedding planning. And I'm so excited, but we are having a disagreement about something. And I really feel like our wedding should reflect us, obviously. So we're vegan. We live an entirely vegan lifestyle, and naturally, I think we should have a vegan wedding. So to try to be accommodating, our plan is to offer, like one fish option maybe, but absolutely no meat. I would never have that at my wedding, and I just think everyone, needs to be respectful of our lifestyle and just should be happy celebrating with us.
And, Bobby, you obviously feel differently. Tell us your side.
Yeah, so both vegan, like Rachel said, and we love this lifestyle. This is a lifestyle for us. We've been on this journey together for a while. But the way that I disagree is I think that everyone at our wedding should have a good time. I don't think we should force our way of life and our lifestyle on our guests. It doesn't really make any sense. We want them to come and be comfortable and have a good time and just enjoy. We don't want them to feel awkward or weird during our wedding. It's a celebration. I don't want to put any negative context or negative feelings on our day. You know what I mean?
I kind of get that. I mean, on the one hand, it's your party, right? And it should be a representation of who you guys are, and people can adjust their plans based on that. On the other hand, let me just give an example. If it's 5-6 hours... and I've been drinking for 3 of those, and all I had was hummus. Well, it could be dangerous later on.
Oh, but you have a very biased opinion because you're not vegan. I'm sure there's foods that will fill you up. It just may not be the things that you would typically eat, like
right.
A steak or a piece of chicken.
Well, that's the thing is if I won't typically eat it, and then I'm having drinks, I'm probably going to eat less of it inherently. That's just really my own thoughts. But I mean, I can temper my own behavior, right?
Yeah. I'm kind of torn on this because if I went to a wedding where it was none of the stuff, I'd be like, what?
I know what you would be doing. You'd be pulling money out of the card.
Well, probably. But listen, let's see what the audience has to say because they may agree with you, Rachel. You're vegan. You're having a vegan wedding. People will celebrate it. It's all about you and it is what it is. But they may see Bobby's side too. If you're having a wedding, you want your guests to feel comfortable. And what's the difference if you offer meat options? It's no big deal. It's what makes them comfortable.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's We're Getting Married Week on Couples Court. All engaged couples sharing the disagreements that they're having leading up to the big day. Today, Bobby and Rachel, they're both vegan. Rachel says it only makes sense that they have a vegan wedding. Bobby disagrees.
Yeah, he thinks that there's no way that they can do that to their guests, right? He says, listen, it's good that our people know that we're vegan. We can talk about it and we can have vegan options, but we've got to have some sort of other protein available for people there too. She says, that's not the case. People will survive. We've got plenty of great tasting dishes. They'll be fine.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Jessica, what side are you on?
I'm on her side. Well, I'm a longtime vegan, and it's part of our ethics not to fund animal abuse. So if they buy animal products for their wedding, they're literally funding animal abuse, so that will go completely against her ethics. So I'm completely with her.
It's an ethical choice, not a practical one.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court. It's We're Getting Married Week on Couples Court. All engaged couples sharing the disagreements they have leading up to their big day. Bobby and Rachel,
both vegans. So Rachel says, well, doesn't it make sense that we have a vegan wedding for all our guests? It's part of our lifestyle.
Yeah, Bobby doesn't think that's a great idea. He's like, listen, it's not all of our guests. I get it. And people know that we're vegan and we can, you know, talk to them and have some of our options available for them. And at the same time, we've got to have some sort of other source of protein for our people. It's a party after all.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Darlene, whose side are you on?
I'm on the boyfriend's side. You know, you can't force your beliefs or your traditions on your guests. I had friends of mine that were both in recovery, and when they got married, they had open bar because it's all about the guests coming to celebrate them. But, you know, you can't force a certain way of eating on people at a wedding.
You know, one thing to remember, obviously, about a party is, like she said, it is about the guests. You're trying to make sure everybody has a good time. So you don't want all too much of any one thing, right? Whether it's your favorite or somebody else's favorite, you want to make sure that you've got some sort of mix. Food is really no different.
Hey, Nicole, whose side are you on?
Definitely his side. My husband is a vegan. I am not, but I love many, many of the dishes. But when you're hosting something, especially a wedding, you need to cater to your guests. And they're all going to be talking about after your wedding, how amazing it was. And the three things you need to have an amazing wedding is food, drinks, and music.
It's true.
And as long as those are good, everybody will be loving the wedding.
Amen.
Thank you. But what if they make a really good eggplant? The best eggplant you ever had.
I mean, I like eggplant. It's the hummus.
Hey, Kim, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side, 100%. Absolutely. You have to have options for other people. We were at a wedding this past weekend. It was only fish and veggies. That was it for every single option. Oysters, everything. And we were starving. I said there was no chicken or steak or anything. We ended up leaving early and going to a diner.
It always happens.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Bobby, our audience agreed with you today. You have to offer some meat option, even if it's just chicken, to your guests.
Yeah, man, I agree. I mean, you know, I want them to feel comfortable. I want them to feel welcome. And, of course, me and Rachel don't have to eat it, but we want our guests to eat it and be full and, you know, not get too drunk.
I think it's probably a good idea anyways for some of your elderly guests or whatever, too. Like, people just, you know, some of them will not eat all that much of the other stuff, right? So if they won't, they're not comfortable or they're not tolerant of it and they're not going to leave and you can't get rid of them. That's called family.
Mm-hmm.
Then you better give them something, right? Sorry it didn't work out the way you wanted, Rachel.
I mean, I guess this is crazy.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a lovely day anyways. Congratulations,
right,
guys.
Yeah. And if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,100 thanks to DoorDash. With DoorDash, you can order it all. Use the app or shop online at DoorDash.com with promo code ORDER22 for 50% off your first order. Get more from your neighborhood with DoorDash. Vanessa, you ready to do this?
I'm scared. I'm going to make a fool of myself, but okay.
You're not going to make a fool of yourself. You're going to take them down. You're going to win all this money. Let's do some positive thinking today. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Okay, Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Vanessa.
Okay.
Thanks.
Raven's walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play, Vanessa?
Yes.
Okay, number one. Roger Federer is retiring at 41 years old. What sport does he play professionally?
Football.
Number two, Kanye West just publicly ended his relationship with what clothing brand? He says they fed him, and I quote, empty promises.
Don't know.
All right, number three, influencer Trisha Paytas was in the news this week because she named her baby girl Malibu Barbie. What color is Malibu Barbie's Corvette?
Pink.
Number four, Queen Elizabeth's funeral has concluded. Mourners were told to please stop leaving Paddington Bears and marmalade sandwiches as tribute to the Queen. Where does Paddington store his marmalade sandwiches just in case of emergencies?
In his hat?
Number five, David Beckham stood in line with everyone else for 13 hours to pay respects to the Queen over the weekend. What was the name of the movie that was based on his soccer skills?
Oh, Bend It Like Beckham.
All right. You know, you came out terribly, Vanessa. At first, I was like, this is going to be embarrassing. But you managed to pull 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. Not terrible. Not great. $2,100. Here we go.
All right. Number one, Roger Federer is retiring at 41. What sport does he play professionally?
Tennis, obviously.
Yes. Vanessa said football.
No. Right? One of the greatest tennis players ever. Okay.
Number two, Kanye West just publicly ended his relationship with what clothing brand? He says they fed him empty promises.
Gap.
Gap is correct. Number three, influencer Trisha Paytas was in the news this week because she named her baby girl Malibu Barbie. What color is Malibu Barbie's Corvette?
It's got to be pink.
Yes, you guys are tied at three. Number four, Queen Elizabeth's funeral has concluded. Mourners were told to please stop leaving Paddington Bears and marmalade sandwiches as tributes to the Queen.
Huh.
Where does Paddington store his marmalade sandwiches just in case of emergencies?
It's in his hat, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And number five, David Beckham stood in line with everyone else for 13 hours to pay respects to the Queen over the weekend. What was the name of the movie that was based on his soccer skills?
Bend It Like Beckham, right?
Yes.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Vanessa. He took you down 5-3. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Vanessa, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,200 tomorrow, Anna.